Hey, everybody. Really fun show today with Kix. Me and Kix dive into two stories, the Pudgy Penguins being the number one seller on OpenSea over the past 24 hours and a top five seller over the past 7 days, including the 400 Ethereum. Yeah, you heard that right. 400 Ethereum. That's $650,000+ for the rarest penguin, which faces the opposite way. We dig into that story, even get some inside details on that from an undisclosed source of mine. And then also we talk about Ben Dao, the NFT lending platform where you could take collateralized loans on your NFTs and the issues they had with liquidations and the subsequent run on the bank. So definitely some juicy stuff that we discuss. Really fun episode. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. Hey everyone. Welcome to the NFT show number 7. I'm Pio. I'm here with my co-host, John F. Kix, King Kix. This is the show where we talk all things NFT market. We do this show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at around 4:50. It's 4:20 right now, so you know what that means. All of our content is sponsored by FTX, so sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on the FTX mobile app. If you sign up with that code and spend over $200 on cryptocurrency, you'll get a bonus of $20 in the cryptocurrency that you bought, airdropped into your account, and you'll be paying the cheapest fees in the game while you do it. Today, we're talking about Pudgy Penguins, the number one seller on OpenSea after the past 24 hours. Slept on by this guy for a while, but clearly the Pudgies are having their last laugh. And we're also talking about the Ben Dao liquidations. So we dove deep into that this morning on our Twitter show, and I'm excited to dive in now. King Kix, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm excited. You know, we're rolling out shorts on the YouTube channel. Those are performing really well. Very exciting. The TikTok's generating hundreds of thousands of views a month. It's fantastic. Things are going well from a viewership perspective, but the NFT market still on the cool side. Would you say so?
I'd very much say it's on the cool side, but it seems like there was some good defending of some floor prices during this drop. And we saw some isolated pumps here and there. But yeah, I mean, the story of the NFT market right now, 100% has to be the Pudgy Penguin. So looking at the 7 day here, top five project.
All the Bored Ape Yacht Club stuff, right?
And then, I mean, then it's literally ENS scam project. And then it's CryptoPunks, you know, also owned by Yuga Labs. So they're really like breakthrough top. And I mean, when you compare the volume to Moonbirds, which is the next highest kind of in that general category, it's, you know, 200% the volume of Moonbirds. So a big run up. And there was a huge buy the dip opportunity, you know, in June. You were able to get these things, you know, probably under an ETH. So one of the few projects posting, you know, a solid gain in a bear market, right? I mean, you know, Crypto Dick Butts made a really big move. There's a couple of projects out there that have made big moves to the upside. I don't know where Bored and Dangerous is at, right? But Bored and Dangerous was like a 2Xer, even in a tough market. It's hard to get a 2X in a tough market. But yeah, I mean, you could have gotten it under one ETH. I mean, even in August, you probably could have gotten it for 1.5. So huge move up, you know, big volume the last 2 days. I know you just tagged that comment as well, a 400 ETH sale.
Yeah, the rarest Pudgy Penguin sold for 400 Ethereum. And I believe that happened this morning.
And it's left facing. So that's why it's different.
Yep. The rarest one. And that one, I believe that in US dollars, that's like $650K+.
$650K. And was that the highest sale they've ever had?
Has to be.
A factor of almost 4.
That's a clean, woo, that's a clean penguin right there. Wow. There's a standing offer of 3.5 ETH on it. Watch out.
But look, this is a great story. Someone took it, got it for an offer a year ago for 225, able to sell it for a 2X, but with ETH down. But I mean, imagine that person holding that bag all the way through everything that happens and is able to come out the other side with like 140 more ETH. Like, if you're an ETH collector, you know, what a play.
What a play. And like you said, I mean, look, do you want to recap? I know you know the story, at least from a high level, fairly well. People might not know. This is an older, this is from the old guard.
Yeah, let's look at activity all time. It's been around since June of last year. August of last year. So, yeah, so it's round tripping on a year.
And
so
and
you held it for a year, you can get some long-term capital gains now. That's a rare thing in NFT land.
Absolutely. We just hit that with mutants. So one thing real quick, and Kix, can you just make sure you're on the this mic audio? I think you are,
yeah.
But real quick, can you check that?
Yeah, you got it, coach.
And were you?
I wasn't, man.
Oh, this guy.
What a rookie mistake.
Yo, audience members, start tagging this guy on Twitter and be like, yo, how's your mic game? Because we got him all the gear, but he just won't use it. No, I got to fix. I'm buying this guy new headphones. So he's going to have headphones that don't have a mic on it. So we're going to know whether he's on the mic or not. Anyway, yeah, everyone, immediate comments sounds much better. Okay. So what was the origin story of Pudgy Penguins, Kix?
Yeah, so origin story, Pudgy Penguins, Cole Farum, like a huge trader in the summer of last year that a lot of people followed. He did the Pickles drop. And then, like, I don't think he was the only person involved, but there was, like, some different people involved in this Pudgy Penguins.
He was the face of both.
He was the face for
projects.
Sure. But they had, like, really good marketing going on. Like, they got, like, a Forbes article or a Wall Street Journal or some, they got some really big news article going on during that time, but they had a massive run up as you can see, like, during the summer, and I mean, they stayed, like, strong for a while. Like, I remember Pudgy Penguins was, like, always 2+ for a good part of, like, the summer bull run, but then I think the execution of the roadmap maybe had some issues. Like, I know that they released these, like, eggs, and when the eggs hatched, they were, like, all just rods, right? They were, like, all the same thing.
Okay.
And there was, like, no real understanding of what it was for. So I think they had, like, a little bit of, you know, roadmap issues, maybe. And it got to a point where I think Cole in the existing team, like, was looking to do some sort of exit. And I don't know exactly when that was, late last year or maybe, I think late last year.
Well, Cole, his reputation was called into question, right? People basically pointed to him as a scammer.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was, you know, some issues around that. I also think that, like, there was just a lot of money that was made on Pudgy Penguins and there was no real, like, delivery on anything after, you know, pretty much the original drop, anything of substance. And I think, like, the community, because that's the thing, is I even remember summer of last year, like, the community is really, really strong. And a lot of people, including myself, joke sometimes that this is, like, a crypto Twitter community, because there's some big names in crypto Twitter that really like Pudgies. But, like, it's even outside of that. Like, I have multiple friends that have just loved Pudgy Penguins since the summer of last year, right? It's just, like, a project that they fell in love with. So, like, they have a really, really, really strong community. But yeah, I think there was issues with Cole. There was just, like, a community that was like, hey, we have a strong community, but we have no one really pushing this project forward for us in any way, shape, or form.
That's so interesting. It's something you see on Solana. On Solana, they call that derugging. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Yeah.
Derugging. And so, derugging on Solana means the project rugged, but someone, you know, for whatever reason is so passionate about it, passionate about the community, they don't want to start fresh. They don't want to make their own project or make a new project. They're like, no, I'm going to take this damn thing over.
And I mean, here, all, there's all sorts of funny things that potentially happen in these situations too. It's like, you know, did the sale, like, did they really sell out, right? Like, you know, did they really, we don't see any of the details, right? Like,
was this a legitimate business acquisition? Like, look, it's not getting reported by the Wall Street Journal. Let me tell you that.
It's not publicly traded. We don't know if, like, the founders completely sold out or gave, you know, 50% equity to someone to come in new. Like, we don't know all the nitty gritty details, but like, what we do know is that it at least like appears there was like, you know, some sort of handoff to this guy like Luca, who seems to be doing great work now as like the owner or like the CEO of the project, and has been making some moves. And I want to say I saw like a news article release where they partnered up with like two pretty cool companies, like that they're making moves.
They're making moves into retail. Like, don't be surprised if you see Pudgy Penguin toys in big toy stores or like released through like name brand toy companies.
Great Christmas season. Little gift, you know, a little Pudgy Penguin.
And people are saying that this is what Cool Cats should have done. This is leaning into intellectual property that people think is strong enough to be a crossover hit, which for the longest time, people were like, Cool Cats, like, hello, look at the Cool Cats, right? And so the Cool Cats elected to try to do the video game route, which is obviously insanely difficult and high risk, when people felt that they should have leaned into the IP. And it seems like maybe they're going that way now. But people are saying that, you know, Pudgy Penguins is now the leader in that direction.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I know how long a good old NFT narrative lasts. So, you know, this will go on for a couple more weeks. I'm not a buyer at these prices. I mean, although I think that they could, you know, potentially do even better. It's like always in the cards. But I mean, it's a tough market out there. I think it's a fantastic buy if you got this at one, right? Like, and you were like betting on the new team takeover, or even if you got in at two. But I'm picking my spots pretty carefully here, so I don't think I'm going to buy here. But I do think that this is really cool. First of all, because I like the Pudgy Penguin community. They just have a lot of fun. They did really cool memes back in the year, back last year. They literally would like overlay Pudgy Penguins on like 2.5 minute long movie scenes.
Yeah, where they would, like, I feel like I remember that too.
Yes, dude, it was like legendary. Just like the effort people put in to memeing Pudgy Penguins, right?
It's like the scene in that movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson where he's like, you can't handle the truth.
Or it's like Taken, you know, but it's a Pudgy Penguin for a 2.5 minute scene of like Taken or The Departed, you know what I mean? And they would just overlay so much funny stuff on top. So the community has been so awesome. So what I love about this is that this is an example of like a community outshining the original, like, you know, operations of the project, right? And then like the community getting now a person in charge that they think is really going to take it to the next level, right? And I wouldn't be surprised for us to see this happen more often, you know what I mean? Where like there's going to be projects where the community is like stronger than the like original founders, and then they can like get some, like, you know, something happening like this. Like, this is a really cool story. I hope we see it happen more often. I think at one point in time they were even talking about like forking Pudgy Penguins. They were like so over it. They're like, we're just gonna fork Pudgy Penguins and start our own like community project. And then like the acquisition or like the sellout happened or whatever. So, it's a legendary story. I think that I would love to see the Pudgies just stay in like the, 3 to 10 ETH range, and become like a project that's like here to stay. You know what I mean? Especially to do cool things. We need more competition. You know what I mean? We need more projects where they're doing stuff.
1000%. I think that, dare I say it, they seem to be here to stay. I want to say they have a strong community. They have been hitting me up on Twitter for months being like, yo, why aren't you talking about Pudgy Penguins on the morning show? And I've just been fading them and fading them and fading them. That's on me, 1000%. But what I will say is the way that they have been tagging me, it's not like annoying spam. It's like legit. They're just like, yo, like, you're fading our project, but you shouldn't be. And they were totally right. I also want to shout out Brandon's comment. He said, PPs are great art, to be honest. Could see them doing very well as a toy collection. Gotta love PPs as an abbreviation for Pudgy Penguins. Gotta love it.
That's great. Yeah, they're actually affiliated with Goblin Town. It's a little known fact. They kind of Easter egg that in there. from the get-go.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. look at this one, though. I mean, they're fun, dude. They're fun to rock as a profile pick.
He's got the handlebar mustache.
Dude, look at that. You know, with the pink mohawk,
I should say, the mohawk.
Yeah, it's only 6,000. That doesn't sound too bad these days, you know?
Well, it is. Look, I'm not fading Pudgy Penguins. It's just a challenging market to buy into pumps. We're literally in a pump after a 400 Ethereum sale. So I'm speaking as an experienced NFT market participant. I'm not speaking as a bear or as a skeptic. Yeah. It's just tough. It's tough to buy, right? You know, there's been instances, Bored Apes, for example, where it would have made sense to buy at this point. But to buy a Pudgy Penguin right here, right now, in the throes of the pump, I think that you might be able to get a better entry point if you wait.
Yeah, you just need a lot of liquidity coming in for it to go to, like, you know, 10 ETH. I mean, let's see how thin the floor is, but I mean, it don't really matter so much. It's a pretty thin floor. But people would probably, you know, list in to some gains potentially. But yeah, it's like if you're looking for a 2x in this market, it's got to go to, you know, over 7 for you to get a 2x at this point. You could see it maybe, you know, going back and like settling in the 3 range, right? And then that could be like a good buy. Because you think that this volume would maybe trend down a little bit, and then maybe you get like a good buy down there. But I think it's a really cool project. So if you're looking more so for like a profile pick and like a community, I think that's the interesting thing when you're approaching NFTs, is you can occasionally make like an acquisition that like you're not just looking to like 2x, right? You're looking at like, okay, Pudgy Penguins, like I start rocking this as my profile pick, like what value can I get out of it, right? And from a value perspective, Pudgy Penguins is probably like a, you know, a good project to look, you know, to get into, right? And I think like sometimes we forget about that, like when we're thinking about profile picks, right? Like when I made my like Moonbirds purchase, I went into it as like, okay, this is more of a marketing expense, right? Or like a brand builder than anything, because I've been without like a good profile pick for such a long time, and I've like already seen the value in like my engagement and people that I'm talking to, and right, like so I think when you look at that perspective, like, you know, Pudgy Penguins is probably like a good brand builder to get into.
Well, that's the original Bored Ape thesis, where just right? Buying Bored Apes early, you look at Captain Trippy, Franklin has 125,000 followers on Twitter. Like,
yeah, huge.
That's wild. You know what I mean? Like, there's more examples. There's plenty more examples where just having apes was like a huge social media growth.
Totally.
Like accelerator.
And like David's saying right here, he's like saying that he's seeing a lot of like crypto punks and also founders of Web3 companies like rocking Pudgy Penguins right now.
Yeah, Leak community. Look, man, hey, and David's got a 2-bit bear. Shout out to the 2-bit bears.
Don't fade the peepees, man.
Don't fade the peepees. Maybe me saying now's the wrong time to buy is a counter trade opportunity. You know, we're gonna have to see. I just know it's hard to keep the attention on a project in the NFT market. Kix, can you pull up that 600 ETH buy one more time? Because
yeah, you got it, man.
I got an undisclosed entity that is texting me some background info because they know the story. Let's make that thing full screen. So check it out. So I'm reading these texts word for word from a source that will not be named, but that I trust. Okay. So you guys are getting some exclusive ass shit right now. You already know. The texts read, so apparently this guy has been trying for months to get this penguin. Making offers with no one accepting the offer. Well, I mean, he said with no one accepting the offer, but in other words, without the owner accepting the offer on this penguin. A Chinese firm owned it. And he was communicating through Etherscan, sending messages in Chinese with Google Translate. And I guess they finally put it up for sale and the guy went for it. And according to Keyboard Monkey, I'm assuming I was supposed to say that. So my source is not Keyboard Monkey, but my source mentioned Keyboard Monkey. And here's the quote. The account that sold is a known Chinese fund as well. They used to play in the PFP arena a bunch last year. So I hope I'm not airing out Keyboard Monkey here, but this is this the wallet that sold it, or is this the wallet that bought it?
That bought it.
Let's check out the wallet that sold it real quick.
Okay.
This guy that bought it is a Penguin Maxi. He's got a bunch of penguins in there.
Yeah, exactly right. Coin United.
Chinese, there's a Chinese fund apparently. I don't know. They got some artifacts.
Oh yeah, they bought a big ass cool cat for 110 ETH.
Oh, whoa, that's a
Golden State Warriors Legacy Collection, 45 ETH.
Has anybody seen that cool cat before?
Floyd Mayweather, 39 ETH.
Ooh, that was a bad one.
Anamita's 35.
That they were known in the PFP arena last year. Holy smokes.
Got a CryptoPunk,
23 CryptoPunk buy. That's a
they
good
really
buy.
Liked these Golden State Warriors legacy collections. Hey, who knows? Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm gonna look like the idiot.
Are those the original? Are those like the rings? Like the championship rings by the it's like the ring.
That's pretty cool.
So they're literally wow. I mean, look, basketball is popular in China, dude. I'm just saying.
Yeah, dude, that thing may be worth $1 million. Just look at it.
Giannis said too much money. Thanks for the insight. Yeah, they're spending a lot of money, buddy.
Hey, you got to, I mean, you don't have a real NFT collection until you have the Preakness NFT limited edition 1 out of 1 moment here.
They love sports.
Like, they love the moments.
Wow.
The top shot, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. There's more. Look at these horse. The Oni Force, 11.
Ooh, top buying some Oni Force real hard.
Oh, Pudgy's buying above where we're at here. A lot of Oni Force. Are these buys on Oni Force? That's at wow. These are top buys. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. A lot of Oni Force.
Hey, but they 2X their Penguin.
They 2X the Penguin. Those artifact punk sneakers, those are some good buys. Yeah. Because I got to think. So look, those buys are at like 3.5. And then what's the floor on this thing?
Oh, yeah, it's 2.5.
Oh, okay. I mean, damn.
But you got some value out of it though, right? Remember, like you got clone X's out of it.
Okay. And maybe physicals too.
Yeah. Yeah, that drip.
And Kicks, while we scroll, I'll keep talking. But if you want to really quick go into those audio settings and just take that the
mic
audio
down.
No, the automatically adjust mic volume should be unchecked. Let's just make sure, okay? Because there's a little bit of variability. But yeah, the top buys on the Oni Force are not good. I wonder if they were buying into like an anime meta. I mean, Oni Force really fumbled the ball. They could have basically been Azuki. Let's check out the wallet for another few seconds, and then we'll wrap.
We'll go over to Bendow.
Yeah, then we'll move on to Bendow. Yeah, more sports stuff and Oni for damn man. I mean, is he like in the NFT?
Remember Dapper Dinos? I don't
remember either, but he bought it for over 1 Ethereum. That's that tough.
That was straight bull market like August of last year. It's just like you were just taking swings every day. It was just like whatever, this could pump. Let's go.
Yeah, Ray T got a good idea. Ray T said, "Let's sort it by their recent buys to see what they're up to now." They're out here selling, you know, penguins for a lot of money recently. Okay, they're dumping artifact space pods. It seems
buying them.
Oh, they're buying them. Wait, I thought you did recently sold. Oh, okay, they're buying.
Yeah, but it's recently sold into their wallet.
Right. So they're buying up artifact space pods. It says 0.36. Artifact space pods are only at 0.36 right now.
Apparently. And monoliths are down to 1.
Damn, man. Down bad right now. I sold a space pod for 1 ETH. What's that green thing right there on the left?
A Viridian Headless Cat Man from the Cool Cat event.
Wow. So they love cool cats. That makes sense. Yeah, Fabo said the activity page is the best way to search. I think that's fair. They are buying random stuff. I mean, my thing about the NFT space is like when you buy random stuff, it can feel like you're nailing it and you're getting like some deep cut thing that nobody else is.
Oh yeah, but they
about.
Haven't been buying much and they've just been selling. They're just straight in the selling category for the last 5 months.
Like basically they're booking losses.
Yeah, this was the Pudgy Raj project I was talking about.
Okay. They're booking losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. They got rid of that Dapper Dino for 0.13.
After buying it for
another one, dude. Man. What the hell is this shit?
I don't know, man. That's a rug pull is what it is.
Yeah.
Buy at the top, selling the bottom, someone said. You're not wrong. All right, moving on. The next story that we're discussing is Ben Dow. So actually on the morning show, we had Cyrus, who is a full-time NFT participant. He's got almost 50,000 followers on Twitter, if I recall correctly. He's building a software development platform in the NFT space. And he provided us really strong insight into Ben Dow and what happened. Kix, you know, I feel like you're better suited to kind of give a high level explanation of the Ben Dow situation. We also had the founder of Ben Dow, Code and Coffee, come on the show to give his side of the story. Could you kind of give us a high level summary of the Ben Dow situation?
Yeah, so it's essentially how like Ben Dow works is you can deposit an NFT and then you're going to get ETH. And so you could basically loan your NFT out, get some ETH. So in a bull market, it's basically leverage trading. That's great, right? Like if you can borrow against your 60 ETH Bored Ape Yacht Club, get 30 ETH and go buy some other NFTs and they double or triple, right?
Pay back the loan.
Yeah, then you're looking great. You didn't have to sell your ape to get more liquidity to make some other plays or put more money in, right?
A collateralized loan against your NFT assets.
Exactly. And then the people that are putting ETH in, they're essentially earning loan interest.
Yep.
Yes. But as you know, as a loaner, there's also the risk of the loan itself, right? And that's what we're getting into right now. So essentially how it works is that once the floor price drops below a certain level, as it gets closer and closer to the amount of ETH that was borrowed, that's when, you know, the score for these things starts to get worse. And then at a certain point, it's that NFT is going to go into liquidation. So you can see that over here with the health factor alert, right? So this Clone X was lent at some point in time and they were able to get 5.57 ETH in debt back. Now the floor price is at 6.22. So this is at like a health factor of one, which means essentially the person that took on the debt, they either need to send more money in to get a better health factor or their Clone X is this then going to go into liquidation. Where the problem is that how like the liquidation works on BenDAO, instead of them just like liquidating and immediately dumping to an offer on OpenSea, right?
An immediate liquidation, right?
Exactly. An immediate liquidation.
Seize the capital.
Get the capital right away. Instead, they auction it off on their website. And if no one buys, they kind of just hold the asset. And yeah. So it can become like really bad debt. Like essentially if a project just like zeroed, right? And you weren't able to liquidate the assets, then like the loan itself zeroed. But talking to like the founder and stuff like that, I think that they're just like, you know, building this as a project. It's not like a complete thing, right? They're still building and improving and stuff like that. They sounded like very competent. So it sounds like now they're just basically going to increase the health factors. Like the liquidation price for those higher so that they can sell these things before it gets uglier.
You got to liquidate because in the real world, like if you compare it to margin trading, we're talking about insta liquidation at a certain level, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're going to instantly take it away and then dump it off the books. And that's when you see those like crazy wicks, you know, on
everyone getting wrecked.
Exactly. Like to the top or to the bottom, a lot of like that, you know, stuff can be liquidations. But yeah, I mean, there's others, this isn't the only like kind of NFT lending protocol out there. There's other ones out there and they work on instant liquidations, right? Like for example, like if you're, it's easier if you're going single party to single party, right? So like if you're lending to me, you know, an NFT, right? And I give you ETH, right? If we wanted to just do a quick and easy liquidation, just at a certain price, I'm like, okay, this is mine. And I can go floor it. I can go dump it to an offer or something like that, right? But BenDAO was trying to make it like pooled money. So there's not like one owner counterparty to this loan. So instead, they don't have like an individual person that can make a decision. It's like trying to make like a collective decision, right? The best decision would probably be to base this stuff off of like the health factor off of like collection offers or something like that, right? Or like offer on the asset itself, right?
Like a live actual offer that you could click a button and actually accept.
Because if you're only doing blue chips, all blue chips essentially should have like some offer out there, right? Yeah. And then at least then you can know like we can liquidate it right now at this price. But I think they're just like building and trying to improve it. But I mean, there is a potential chance, right? That like all of the people that have lent ETH and now can't get ETH back out. Because that's what also happened over the last 24 hours is people started pulling their money, pulling
run
their
on ETH. The bank.
Yeah, now there's not enough ETH and there's a bunch of like these, you know, bad debt assets. So there's a real chance, and I think it's already maybe happening, that the people that are owed ETH are saying like, hey, you need to get rid of these assets, right? You need to like dump them or whatever, and we need to get, you know, some ETH back. So I'm sure they're going to have to navigate that, you know, situation. But yeah, there's a risk that some of these assets could like, you know, temporarily put some pressure on some of these projects, you know, like if they arbitrarily decided like, hey, we're liquidating 20 Bored Apes, like that's, you know, that could put 10-15% pressure on the floor price. It's not like some catastrophic black swan scenario, right? That like takes the whole market down by like 80% or
like
something
like a Doquan type of thing.
Exactly. I don't think it's like that crazy, but like on certain projects, like worst case scenario, it could put like, you know, 10-15% of floor pressure, which would suck, but also you'd probably get buyers coming in because that would like start to get really attractive.
You know? That's what Cyrus said. His first thought was, well, I'm about to buy these liquidations, but they weren't after 2 or 3 days, he didn't see any at a price that was favorable to him. It's also why they didn't sell, right?
Exactly. Because one of the problems is that you like the auction starts at like 0.95, the floor price. And 2.5% goes to OpenSea, and an average collection is taking 5%. So literally, if you bid on that, if it's a floor NFT, you're like
you're underwater,
you're losing money. Yeah, you're going to lose 2%. Like, why would anyone logically do that, right?
Yeah.
But like an actual liquidation, where if it's like, okay, the bad debt on this Bored Ape is 59 ETH, right? Like, could they just instantly dump it right now for 60 ETH? Yeah, they could, right? There'd be a buyer there. But if you try to do that 10 times over,
that's going to go down.
Exactly. But then you'll have people coming in, like, you know, you get Bored Apes at 55 ETH. There's a lot of people that want to take that opportunity.
Absolutely. So, you know, it should be said, this is not going away. Collateralized loans against NFTs is not going away. The evolution of it will, I just think, be like more standardized and safe ways to do it. It sounds like peer-to-peer is the preferred way for the short term. The other thing you have to keep in mind is that as these assets start to stabilize over years, not months, like over half a decade, you'll start to have more of a track record and you'll understand like what a Bored Ape NFT is worth, right? Because there's 10,000 of them. You're going to see them trading hands over the next 5, 10, 15 years. And then you'll start to see like more like, and then the other thing is that the volatility on all this shit goes down over time. It doesn't go up, right? So the volatility on Bitcoin in theory goes down as the years go on. It doesn't increase, right? I think that's kind of a fair thing to say when you kind of look at the charts and you look at how heinous the volatility was in like years past, and it's still bad. It's still a lot of volatility, but it's not as bad, and it gradually gets lower. And so once that happens, you'll see people taking like really conservative loans against the assets, and it's just a healthy thing. It's the same thing as if like you inherited a property in New York City from your family that's been in the family for 2 or 3 generations and you borrow against it. It's just like a very strong financial move that gives you tax benefits. It frees up capital without you having to sell an asset. You could go take that capital and use it as an investment in a business and you don't pay taxes on it. There's layers to this. It's actually like rich people stuff. And it's something that happens in the traditional art world. So it's not going away. But right now, it's like a very janky version of what the future will be. That's literally being developed, you know, week over week. And we're talking about an issue in the development right now.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, like people, like the times that we have issues with, like, because this is essentially like, you know, margin, taking out margin, yep, right? Is that like when people don't know what they're doing, that's when, you know, you can have, you know, potential issues.
In a hard market, by the way, because they're
in a hard market. Yeah. And this probably is the first time that we're going through a bear market with like NFT loans. And I don't think a lot of people that participated in or created these companies 6 months ago thought we would be like in this brutal of a bear 6 months later. Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, when you think about going through like the first like cycle, if anything, this stuff doesn't seem like that crazy bad. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like 600 assets could come on the market. It's not like 60,000, right? Like, you know, if it was 1,000 or 2,000 Bored Apes coming on the market that all had to get dumped, you know, that would crash the whole NFT market. But we're talking about like, you know, 20 or, you know, 60 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't mess around with this stuff because I think that if you don't know what you're doing, it's a very quick way to just like put some big dents in the old net worth or the portfolio.
And this market is like, dude, whether you know what you're doing or not, this market is so unforgiving. Like, think about it. Like Signal, you know, Moonbirds hit Signal's target. I'm not trying to put Signal on blast. I'm just using it as an example. Moonbirds hit Signal's target. She bought in and it just like kept going down, you know?
Like, well, and if you think about it, if you had taken a loan out at that point in time, that loan against that asset, that loan would already be getting margin called, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it would already be blowing up, right? So crazy. Like, that's how volatile it is you could already just have taken that money straight to zero. And then what would you have bought with the money? You know what I mean? Like, what other NFTs would you buy? Yeah, exactly. Pudgy Penguins, right? Yeah. I mean, the cool thing, though, is that people that use it right, they do some legendary stuff, right? Like, there's a time and a place for it. Like, in a bull market, like, you know, makes a ton of sense. But I think there's going to be all sorts of, like, innovations. Like, there's, like, PseudoSwap, right?
Yep.
That's still early on. I'm sure that PseudoSwap or a competing version of it will be, like, a big deal probably a year from now. You know what I mean? Just like better ways to trade and like NFTs acting as liquidity pools and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I think it's just going to keep getting, you know, better and better with like each cycle. But yeah, I think it's just also like a bear market thing where it's just interesting to follow. You know what I mean? We're all like desperate for some like news events. So like, it's like, oh, the Ben Dow liquidation crisis, you know?
Yeah, this is a good little story. We're not going to talk about this for weeks. This isn't the 3AC, but for today, yeah, it was good for today. I'm glad we talked about it. Two shows. Yeah. I texted Node and I asked him if he wanted to talk about it on Thursday and he said no. So there you go. Like, we're not, today's the day for the Ben Dow liquidation. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. And if you want to
notice, there's like no art block on here or anything like that, right? Like, those guys are like, you know, they're not touching the liquidation. Those things are in cold storage vaults, like, you know, in the mountains of Utah.
Oh yeah, tell Zeneca to fucking borrow against his Fidenza, see what he says. Yeah, right. All this stuff is going to get automated. All the instruments that you see in the traditional finance world are going to be put into this world, and they're going to be better, and they're going to be trustless, and they're going to be more decentralized, and they're going to be automated, and they're going to have lower fees for you. So all that stuff's going to happen. It's just going to take a long time because that's how innovation works. Think about it. How long was the internet around before we got the iPhone, before we got social media, before we got, you know, all this other stuff, right? It took time. Speaking of getting liquidated, if you want to get liquidated on a superior platform, FTX is the only platform that I get liquidated on. If you want to just get wrecked trading margin, FTX is the place where there's a UI that makes it so easy to get destroyed trading with margin on crypto while it just goes down.
Hey, that 10x long on ETH at 1200 on FTX. You saw that. I was seeing some people posting some P&Ls where, like, you know, they leverage long to ETH at like 1200 and at 2000, they were just up a disgusting amount of money.
I mean, I bet. I mean, there's
actually, and you can do that too on FTX.
You can do it on FTX. Though. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. They're bringing in stocks too. So if you want to go full degen and long
get
and short,
AMC, get some ape.
literally AMC, then you're good there. So Kick, so any closing thoughts on Ben Dow, any closing thoughts on, you know, Pudgy Penguins, anything or anything else that you're seeing in the NFT market today?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was just looking at, the stats, you know, it feels like, I think a really significant story was Mutants recovering from like 11.9 up to 13.5. Like we're seeing some buying, we're seeing some people, you know, like coming in like supporting these floors. But I'm still holding my thesis that the most amount of money to be made in the next year for, in the NFT market is probably going to be new projects. Right. So I think I'm just trying to hold back and wait for some like good spots, but it's good to see that we're having some action. We're having some movement, right? It's not just straight downward death and despair, although it is getting, you know, rough, but I think that, you know, it just like waiting for those opportunities to come by. I think that's like the play right now. And will be the play for the next year. I think that the market right now is just like dying for something exciting. You know what I mean? And if you can catch that wave, it's going to be a big one.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Love seeing the mutant bounce. So hard to see where these things are going to go. I have a suspicion that could be completely wrong, but I have a suspicion that the market is going to give some serious support at double digit Ethereum for mutants. Like, I don't know what it would take for us to see a 9 Ethereum mutant. I think probably Moonbirds too, right? Like, I feel like the market, people will just be like, I like Moonbirds at 9 ETH. I like mutants at 9 ETH, you know? So yeah. Like you're going to get some serious support there and people front running that. Also wanted to shout out. So Sneaky Ninja Pants, member of the Portal Discord, has been trying to buy that Pudgy Penguin and he's just sent me a screenshot. He made a 250 Ethereum offer on it as recently as yesterday. So he made a 250 Ethereum offer on it yesterday, 240 2 days ago, 245 3 days ago, 250 3 days ago. That was 395K on the day, and a 250 4 days ago. So he wanted that penguin. Shout out to oh, sorry, it's not a sneak. He's typing now. It's not him. It's the guy. He's been trying to buy it for weeks. I already said that, Sneaky Ninja Pants.
Pio
really didn't listen to the show.
Pio, how many of these like huge buys do you think work out? You know what I mean? Because I've been like thinking like you buying something for $1 million, like you buy a gold ape for like $1 million. Like
buying a gold ape is different than buying this Pudgy. Although
totally.
Clearly whoever bought this Pudgy thinks it's the same thing.
Yeah. And it could be. I mean, but I'm just saying like I don't think I've seen many flips where it's like, you know, 800K, then you resell for 1.6 million. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there on the top projects, but yeah, that's a bold bet.
We haven't been in the game long enough to see that bet manifest because in that documentary,
it takes years
in that documentary that we have been talking about, The Price of Everything, the main collector that they feature in the documentary, this guy, Stefan, I forget his last name. He passed away recently, actually. He bought the Jeff Koons rabbit, which is like the grail Jeff Koons piece, during the bear market in 1992 for like 925K. And everybody said that's crazy, right? So that's like
way too much.
It's kind of the same
thing. Like he was the top buyer.
The top buyer during the bear, people are like, you are nuts. There's no liquidity on that. That's like what you had to understand. You then can't turn around and even sell it probably for 2/3 that afterwards. Like there's no liquidity, right? And now in 2018 at the time of the documentary, so what, 26 years later? So that's a while. It was $55 million.
Damn, 55 extra though.
More. Like if you really, at those levels, it's like a 61X or something like that.
Damn.
And
yeah, so it's a time play.
It's a time play. NFTs as a time play outside of Bored Ape Yacht Club and CryptoPunks and maybe Art Blocks. That's hard, man.
It's a big boys game. I'm not ready for that yet, coach.
Well, you're not a huge fan of holding. Dude, the more I think about it, some of this Art Block stuff might really be the thing that we look back at. And I'm like,
I have been thinking about it too. So let's go halfy. Let's go half season.
On which one? That's the
ringer.
The ringers, yeah. So we'd be putting up like 25K each, and we'd have a ringer. Hey, and then that 25K.
You may have a yacht named Ringer. Let's just say that.
There's just the design of the ringer all over the yacht. Yeah, it's like, this is what paid for the yacht.
Helicopter pad with the ringer design on it.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, for Fidenzas to have a $150,000 floor where we're at in the market is outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous. There's 1,000 of them at a 150K floor. It's insane. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed the show. This was a good one, Kicks. We just did a good one. This is a good one. Not trying to pat myself on the back, but subscribe to the channel, like, comment, follow Kicks on Twitter. When he feels like tweeting, he drops some good stuff. He's a busy guy being a co-founder in this business and the CEO of a gaming company and being a family guy. But you already know, catch you guys next time. Maybe there's a show tomorrow. There might not be a show tomorrow. Tuesday's our interview day, and I don't know if we have an interview booked. But other than that, you already know me, Kicks, and usually Nick. Nick took the day off today, Monday, Wednesday, Friday on YouTube at this time. Thursday is Node Mode. You know you can count on that. And we got Node a guest. Mode. Yeah, we got a dope guest on Node Mode this week. Mr. Breeze said, fix my mic. I thought we fixed the mic. I thought the audio was on point. I thought today's audio was good. We'll dig into the technicals. We're moving. We're wheeling and dealing. We'll catch you guys next time.